Thank you. I'm Nick, and this has been my fourth mission trip here at Tricon. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to go on the mission trip and for the opportunity to experience the love and connections which make it up. I have been to Navajo Nation, the Rio Grande Valley, Puerto Rico, and now Orange, Texas. And I have to say that each of these trips offers a unique and life-changing experience that played a part in forming who I am today. As we go down and transform our workplaces through the labor which we gratefully expend, we ourselves are transformed through the connections that we make with others and with those that we meet. On this mission trip, my group, which was led by my adult leader, Christine, and me, met a woman named Janice, whose house had been wrecked by two hurricanes, Harvey and Imelda. She was incredibly grateful for the help that we offered to her through repairing her house, through sheetrocking and insulating. It takes a lot of strength and humility to be able to not only recognize that you need help, but go out and ask for it. And that's what she did. She thanked us, and she gave us cookies and an attitude which was thankful and appreciative, which ended up being reciprocal. What we brought her and what she gave us was hope, which I am so thankful for. So I just want to thank all of you for this wonderful opportunity to go out and connect with people as they make connections with us. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Carson Detweiler, and I'd like to share with you a little bit about what these trips mean to me. When I was a kid, I remember looking forward to the mission trips. I remember waiting for years, seeing the groups of high schoolers come and go, and I wanted to go on a trip more than anything. This was before I knew what the trips were about. Now I have been on four trips and learned more each year than I thought possible. Whether it be freshman year, learning how to live in the moment and open up. Sophomore year, learning how different the rest of the world truly is. Last year, learning to rely on my friendships in hard times. Or this year, learning to lead. Each year, I learned more about myself as a person and the people that we met than I could have ever imagined. Seeing the people this year who still had hope after years of fighting just to get back to where they were before the hurricanes was eye-opening. Looking in on myself and seeing how I had changed and become a leader throughout the 4 years was equally as eye-opening. Whether it be seeing how I reacted to the challenges of being a leader that I never knew existed, or how I interacted with the rest of the group in a way that would not have been possible 4 years ago. I truly am a different and better person than I was before my first trip 4 years ago. I could stand here and say that I'm sad that my trips are over and that they have been the best part of each year, have been the best part of my life up until this point, and that I am sad that I will not be going on anymore, all of which is true, but this is not the end. These trips have changed me in so many ways and so much for the better, but I am ready to move on with my life and start the next chapter. The only thing I can say is thank you from the bottom of my heart. It is thanks to you that I have been able to experience these life-changing trips for the past 4 years, and it is because of you that so many future grades will get the same opportunity to develop as people. And so on my behalf and theirs, thank you.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Rennert, and this is my fourth mission trip as part of the Tricon Youth Group. Over the past 4 years, I've had the amazing opportunity to go to Navajo Nation, Rio Grande Valley, Puerto Rico, and Orange, Texas. These trips have been a pivotal part of how I've grown as a person. I've learned so much, from sheetrocking to taping and floating and even framing. But not only have my building skills increased, I've also matured socially and emotionally over the course of these trips. Back in my freshman year, I learned the value of putting yourself in someone else's shoes in order to truly understand their life and empathize with them. We were serving in an area that had no access to running water and was a few hours from the nearest city. Something as simple as washing dishes, which I had known to be just putting them in a dishwasher and hitting start, was a much lengthier process here. It took multiple buckets of water, wash, bleach, and rinse, and each dish must be washed one at a time by hand. Seeing how much effort went into as simple an act as washing dishes, I gained a greater appreciation for how different life was without access to some basic resources. My sophomore year, I learned how to set goals and plan large projects. We had been tasked with moving a massive pile of dirt 50 feet across a church lawn. And while this task may sound straightforward, I want to emphasize it was a lot of dirt. My group broke into teams of three, each with a wheelbarrow and a few shovels. But soon after we started, we realized this undertaking was greater than we had originally thought. In order to keep morale high, we planned out when we would take our lemonade breaks, by how much dirt we moved. After five wheelbarrowfuls, we'd take a quick rest in the shade, then get back to work. It was on this trip I learned the true power of attainable goals on lemonade breaks. Last year, my junior year, I saw firsthand how important communication and teamwork are. My group was hanging sheetrock on the ceiling, and as anyone who has ever put up sheetrock knows, it's heavy. We needed all seven people working together in order to put one piece of sheetrock up. Three people would hold it above their heads, standing on scaffolding. Two would be ready to screw it in place. One would have an X-Acto knife to shave off any edges that were a bit long or crooked. And the last person would direct the whole team and make sure that there were no gaps between pieces of sheetrock. With even just one person taking a water break, it was noticeably harder to hang the sheetrock because we all relied on each other for the job to go smoothly. And this year, my senior year, I learned how to be a leader. I used this trip to pick and choose pieces from the many leadership styles I've experienced over the years in order to figure out what kind of leader I am. I'm an enthusiastic leader. When all the kids were waiting at the airport for the vans and spirits were wearing thin after a long day of travel, I brought out the music and made sure everyone's mood was brought back up. I'm a diplomatic leader. When we were picking restaurants to eat at, I always put it to a vote in order to make sure that everyone's opinions were taken into account. And I'm an inclusive leader. When we were eating dinner or playing cards or just hanging out, I made it my goal to talk to people who were sitting alone and encourage them to join the rest of the group. On this trip, I felt like I had responsibilities, but I also felt more than adequately prepared for them with all the opportunities to practice leadership that I got. I waited for a long 8 years before I could go on my first Tricon mission trip, and now all four are over. But I find solace in the quote, "Don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened." I've had so much fun and made such great memories these past 4 years. They've pushed me out of my comfort zone and were opportunities for growth unparalleled by anything else in my life. I want to thank everyone who's had a role in making these past 4 years as special as they were. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Luke Wilbur, and this was my fourth mission trip. When we're preparing to go on the mission trip, we're asked to go without expectations and without assumptions about anything that we're going to see. I do my best every year, but of course, I have my own baggage that I carry with me, not only literal, hopes, goals, and the memory of past mission trips, which have shaped me so much. And every year, the trip is nothing like my expectations and better than I'd ever dreamed. The reason for that is simple. I forget too much. I forget the satisfaction of heading back after a hard day's work, feeling like you've made a difference. I forget the lessons that you can learn from people who've had so much taken from them, and yet still remained open-hearted, generous, and loving. I forget just how amazing it is to spend every day surrounded by the kindest people on earth. Most importantly, I forget how uniquely wonderful the mission trip is, that it can draw out the amazing person within each and every one of us. And that's the truth. I know that I'm the best I can be when I'm on the mission trip, and everyone else is too. We all feel it. You can see it in the weirdest places, be it our ridiculous late-night card games, screaming along with music on van rides, or the fact that, after just 2 days in Texas, my group already started calling the sticky-floored Navy barracks we were staying in home. You can see it in our return to Tricon, where we all say goodbyes that last for an hour because it's so hard to let go of the friendships that mean so much to you. The truth is that coming back to real life, whatever that means, is hard. It's the feeling that I call mission trip withdrawal, where for a few days after I get back, everyone who wasn't on the trip feels distant or hard to talk to, like they don't understand something that I've seen. And, in the most roundabout way possible, that feeling of withdrawal is what I'm up here to talk about, because that withdrawal doesn't have to exist. There's no reason the whole world can't be that wonderful, accepting, and caring like us as we get to be on the mission trip. And there's no reason that I can't be my best self when I'm not on the mission trip. Nothing will ever feel exactly like these trips, and that's a loss that I'm going to spend a long time coming to terms with. But now I know, more than anything else, that there is a better self inside of all of us that we just need to tap into. I know that if I spend the rest of my life chasing that better self inside of myself and inside of others, that will be a life well spent, and that's a vision that only exists for me because of the mission trip. So, the last and most important thing I will say is this. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Maggie Stewart. I'm a sophomore at CCHS, and this is my second mission trip experience, specifically on the theme of perception, because if I didn't have a theme, we would be here for hours. I'll save that for my senior year. Last year, I went to Puerto Rico, and it was one of the best weeks of my entire life. So naturally, I was very excited for Texas, and I'm sure many of my youth group members can relate, but I was more than ready for a week away from school and the internet. Before this year's trip, I felt as though grades and work was all I could think about, which isn't great, but that's high school, I guess. But after hearing the stories from Tim and Sheila and Margaret that they had to go through during Harvey and Imelda, it really made me put things into perspective. I mean, would you rather take a biology test on cellular respiration or have your house flooded and worry about the snakes swimming in the water? And parents, I know what you're thinking. After seeing the slideshows and hearing the stories, did my child really work or did they just go to fast food restaurants all week? And I can confirm that we did work, and I know this year especially, I have put my blood, sweat, and tears into the floors that we completed. I'm going to share a story from the last day that I don't think Lucas or I will ever forget, so trigger warning for that. As I mentioned, our care group was working on the flooring, which requires you to be on your hands and knees all day, hammering boards into each other, kind of like a puzzle, but much harder. The task was not easy, and I can prove this with my very bruised thumb. But anyways, on the last day, Lucas and I were finishing up this one room, and we only had a doorway area left to go. So you do the routine measurements, and you saw it out. But when we tried to put it in the wall, it did not want to fit. So after some failed aggressive pushing, we try a new piece. And of course, this one did not fit either. And when our third piece was just a little too wide, I think we were both ready to explode. But with some help with Steve, who worked with us on the site, it was finally done. And of course, now I look back and laugh, because this doorway was such a small part of our care group's accomplishments that week. But what I have taken from this experience, and the trip as a whole, is that there will be obstacles that make you angry and want to give up. But if you are able to take a step back and look from another perspective, you will be a much happier and more productive person as a whole. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Susanna Snell. At the time, I did not know it was faith I was discovering. But as I look back and reflect on the mission trip, it stands apart as a unique service experience, where I was able to discover my faith and why Tricon has become so important to me. My care group helped Loretta. She's been living in her house since 1967, and she raised three kids there. Loretta was hit with back-to-back hurricanes, Harvey and Imelda. It took a lot of financial support and time to recover from Harvey. And when Hurricane Imelda hit almost a year later, she wasn't sure if she'd be able to fix her house again. Loretta could have given up. She could have walked away from her home and just lived with her daughter nearby. However, Loretta relied on God. She told me, if you believe in him, he has room on his lap and love for everyone. He will help you through hard times. Her faith was so strong and that she had the most optimistic outlook on life. Seeing Loretta be so positive and keep her faith in God through all her hardships opened my eyes. I will never forget the moment when Loretta would go outside, put her hands up, reach to the sky, and pray to God. This moment stuck with me. It made me realize that my faith, whatever it is, as long as I fully believe in it, will help me through hard times. I always rely on science or reasoning to explain events in life. But what if there comes a day that science can't explain everything? In Loretta's life, that's what happened. But she stayed strong through it all because she believed in her faith in God. Before the mission trip, I heard that I would make incredibly close friendships and connections. That was absolutely true. I'm very grateful for all the sing-alongs in the car, care group bonding and shenanigans, and late-night talks with laughter and tears. The mission trip has made me realize my faith, and my faith comes in this community at Tricon, where I've made some of my closest friends, created some of the best memories, and have had some of the best discussions and topics to talk about. Service work has been an essential part of my life, and my faith has grown from that foundation. I try to go through life seeing the glass half full, and my own positivity has come from finding the smallest ways to see joy and hope in life. Loretta showed me the power and importance of believing in something. I can now see that Loretta's relationship to God is like my approach to positivity. Seeing Loretta go outside and pray makes me rethink what faith means to me. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Hannah Wilkinson, and this was my fourth mission trip. So in Orange, Texas last week, my group and I primarily served a woman named Linda. Linda had an incredible story. She was always the one to have the whole family over for the holidays. She was always the person to want to take care of everyone around her. She explained how she put all of her savings into this house that we worked on just for it to get destroyed. She told us her complicated history of being in and out of the hospital for various reasons. There was one point in her life when she had a terrible anaphylactic reaction to a medicine that had never given her a problem before in the past. She needed a breathing tube to survive. She explained to us that she would never want to live in a vegetative state, so she signed a DNR form. The doctors told her she would die if they removed the breathing tube, and she was prepared for it, but she survived. This got me thinking. The faith Linda had kept her going. Through all of this, all she ever was grateful for what she had, and she never doubted her faith for a second. Even when she was moments from death, she knew that there was more in life for her. We all need to put our faith in something, our family, our friends, or God, because there's a certain feeling you get on the mission trip. You feel supported and loved, and you don't care about the negatives anymore. That's what happens when you have faith and trust. That's what happened to Linda when she was looking death in the face. She knew that no matter what happened, if she lived or died, it would be okay. On the mission trip, you put your trust in those you have with you. You hold on to that feeling where you're completely and totally in the moment and nothing else matters. And when you go home, it's hard to keep that mindset. You start to think again about grades, deadlines, and college. Then you remember what the trip is all about. You remember what you learned from Linda and everyone around you. Stop thinking and just live. Be grateful for what you have. Have faith in others. Don't do it alone, because no matter what you go through, life is worth living. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Christine Kelly. I am your Tricon youth leader. It was 100% success. That was my answer to the first person I saw last Sunday who asked, "How was the trip?" By most accounts, the answer may seem overstated, and maybe it was. 100% success doesn't mean everything went right. We definitely had glitches. It took 3 tries to get the boys and girls' shower schedule right. The toilets were on and off and out of work all week long. We often had a plugged-up sink. We had air mattresses that would not hold air. We almost left a sleeping bag in the airport on our very first day. We sometimes forgot to bring lunches to the work sites. We all had to adjust our expectations because in some ways, things were different than the trip last year. I could go on and on. But the fact is, so much good came out of this trip. That is the success. In the microcosm of time and place, I witnessed so much good. Some of these things are intangible, and yet some are definable. I'd like to share some of what I witnessed that week. Everyone on that trip grew in some ways. The kids, the adults, the people we worked with, and the people we served. We learned a lot of life lessons. We realized that we have so much to learn from one another. We learned to put ourselves before others. We learned to be humble. We learned to be open. We learned to be flexible. We learned how to love. We learned to look out and care for one another in our own individual ways. We came to see God in others, and we were able to see God in ourselves. We tried new experiences, new foods. We made new friends. We tried new things. We learned from the people in the community, and we learned from the people we served. Kids that were initially intimidated by the work and the tools, they became willing to try. The drill, the power tool, the staple gun. Kids did complicated jobs, and they came to realize they could do it, and that was empowering. Kids who were homesick and had a hard time in a large group worked through difficult feelings and became more uncomfortable, Kids made unexpected friendships they would not have predicted. Kids learned firsthand from the stories from the homeowners, stories of hardship, stories of struggle. The kids saw firsthand the resilience of the people. We saw hope and we saw faith through the eyes of people who had faced such adversity and such loss. It was unimaginable. We witnessed and celebrated how people could persevere. We learned about perspective. We learned that people's lives could be so different than our own and our daily lives. The kids learned that they could exist without all the things that they are used to. In the end, we were told that we were a blessing to the people we served. The bigger truth is, we learned that they were in fact a blessing to us. All of this good I saw last week made me think that small transforming experiences are happening everywhere and every day. And maybe we just have to look harder for them. I am grateful for this experience. I am grateful for the kids, for the adults, and I am grateful for this church. Thank you so much.
You may be seated. We have one more reflection sharer for you, but Sarah's is unique because Sarah is also going to join this church once she shares her reflection. So her reflection's going to explain how and why this is such an important moment for her. So Sarah.
Hello. Hi. I came to TriCon as a young girl just beginning to realize how cruel the world could be. Back then, people saw me as the tough and confident freshman who played with fire and raised her voice at everything. But beneath my hard exterior, I felt cold and hopeless and alone. Nobody knew it, but I was struggling so much that year. I went on my first mission trip to Arizona, having not felt happy in months. A lot of people talk about the post-mission trip depression, and while I definitely know the feeling of longing and nostalgia they are referring to, I experienced quite the opposite of depression when I came home from these trips. My first mission trip was, and always will be, the best week of my life. Someone once compared the mission trip to being on drugs. A and nothing will ever beat that first high. When I came home, I felt alive again. I was excited and thrilled and happy. It was magic. And that feeling lasted for a long, long time after the trip. But inevitably, I began to feel hopeless again. I struggled through my sophomore and junior years of high school as well. As a sophomore, I went through confirmation class. Everyone who was in that class with me knows that my one goal was to derail the classroom. But what they don't know is that I actually enjoyed being there. It was the one place where I could let off steam and go on rants and be myself. Back then, I stubbornly chose not to get confirmed because I didn't want to commit to Christianity. But it made no difference in how this church embraced me. One time last year, Bob asked me to read something during a Sunday service. But when I showed up in his office, I ended up sobbing the entire time. Even though I never explained why I was crying, Bob stayed with me. I never told my parents what happened that day. When they came to pick me up, I pretended that everything had gone to plan, and Bob never brought it up again. This is only one small example of the unconditional love I have received from the people here. Tricon has seen me at my weakest, and I have struggled here as much as I have anywhere else. Tricon has been my source of joy these past 4 years. Whether I'm at youth group, having a dance party, doing donuts in the high school parking lot, or hanging sheetrock in Texas, I'm always on an adventure with my friends here. I don't regret my decision to not get confirmed, but I have changed my mind. Even back then, I knew that I would be accepted at Tricon regardless of if I got confirmed or not. And I always knew that if I changed my mind down the road, the option was always open to me. I wanted to join the church officially for quite some time now. Tricon saved me, but not in the Jesus way you might think I'm talking about. Tricon gave me hope and made me happy when nothing else in my life could. I met my best friend here, and I'm so happy to have grown into a role model for those younger than me. My reasons for wanting to join Tricon have little to do with the words Bible and God. I believe that anything is possible. I believe in conspiracy theories and destiny and magic, in vampires and aliens and in the Matrix. I believe in Tricon Church, and I know that Tricon believes in me. There's a poem that I heard my freshman year here, and we've repeated it every year since then. It goes, "Every child has known God, not the God of names, not the God of don'ts, not the God who ever does anything weird, but the God who knows only four words and keeps repeating them, saying, 'Come dance with me, come dance.'"